This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
Is everyone a psychoanalyst here? Oh my God. You know, it's funny, the main collector of my work, do you know Judith Vida? She's a forensics, the big forensic expert. I've always had a good thing with psychoanalysts. This piece was kind of like, it was generated by a group show that I was asked to participate in by a friend of mine who curated it. His name is David Ruminelli, and it was at Deitch Projects. I showed a rough cut of this at Deitch on a plasma screen, which meant that it was only like 10 days after principal photography that I edited it really, really quickly and threw something up on a plasma screen, but it was not, I took it afterward, I edited it for about 7 months, or 8 months, almost a year to do post, to really finesse it to where I wanted it, to then make it a 35mm print. I shot it in 16, and the idea came about was every artist in the show was given an assignment. We were asked to read Flaubert's Sentimental Education and make an original work of art. So I'd read Sentimental Education several times. I read it again, and I was kind of fascinated by there's a small character in it that was supposed to be Nadar. And I thought, well, you know, Nadar photographed his friends, the literati, the art world of the time. So, you know, I thought, I always had kind of a, after working with Sandra, which was the very first film I did, Without You and Nothing, I did a lot of work in between, but I never really had a desire to make another film until I saw Gary reading at Otis. He was reading from his true crime novels. He was reading from 3 Month Fever. And after seeing him, there was something that clicked about, you know, him that kind of reminded me of Sandra. Maybe he represented a lot of the same things, but in a different way. Something about it just clicked. I wanted to photograph him. So I wanted to create a photographic portrait of Gary. And so I assumed that Gary was going to read his own work. Because I thought, God, wouldn't it be great to have a good film portrait of this important novelist at a really good time in his career? You know, we should have on everybody. So, he said, no, I want to read Celine. And I mean, Louis Ferdinand? And I was like, why? I kept asking him, why Celine? Why Celine? Make my life harder. You know, and it turned out that he said, well, you have to see Pierre Lefou to understand. And so I watched Pierre Lefou, and there were many references to Celine at the time. And I used Pierre Lefou as an intercutting device to kind of give you recreate for the viewer the moment of reception of Celine's novel, North, which in a way, his trilogy at the end of his life, which was Castle to Castle, North, and Rigadoon, in a way functioned somewhat to pardon him for some of the terrible things he did during the 40s, you know, and because at least he told the truth, you know, and in a way, you know, without North, there could never have been, it was like a beginning of a discourse that like culminated in like, let's say, the sorrow and the pity, which collapsed the popular notion that the French were a country of widespread resistance, which it wasn't. So the titles emulate Godard's from Pierre Lefou. So I used some rear screen, and it was shot in one day in a soundstage in Long Island. Okay.
Jamais nous n'avons échangé de tels serments méconnaissants, reconnaissants. Jamais nous n'aurions pu être à jamais pris par l'amour, nous qui étions si inconstants. Pourtant, Pourtant tout doucement, sans qu'entre nous rien soit dit, petit à petit. Les sentiments se sont glissés entre nos corps qui se plaisaient à se mêler. Et puis des mots d'amour sont venus sur nos lèvres nues, petit à petit. Et pas de mots d'amour se sont venus tout doucement à nos baisers, combien de mots d'amour. Jamais je n'aurais cru que tu me plairais toujours, oh mon amour.
You don't need to vote to have an opinion. It's the privilege of old age. A time comes when you stop reading the articles. Just the ads. They tell you the whole story. And the death notices. You know what people want, and you know that they're dead.
Son dessin, l'admirable rigueur. Sa ligne, puissant.
God knows the guests of the Simplon in Baden-Baden were Gaullists, out-and-out anti-Hitlerites, right for the Allies. With the cross of Lorraine in their hearts, in their eyes, on their tongues. And none of your small-time flops, none of your demented down-at-the-heel shopkeepers. The Simplon only took people from the very best families. Former reigning princes, Aurora magnates, owners of steel mills with 100 or 200,000 workers, still, I'm speaking of July 44, very well supplied with food and very punctually. Butter, eggs, caviar, marmalade, salmon, cognac, Mums Extra. Airborne shipments dropped by parachute on Vienna, Austria, direct from Rostov, Tunis, Epernay, London. The war is raging on seven fronts and all oceans don't interfere with their caviar. The super squashery, Z-bomb, sling, fly swatter will always respect the delicatessen of the high and mighty. You won't see Khrushchev eating monkey meat in this world or Nixon feeding on noodles. The tables of the high and mighty are a reason of state. That's how it was at the Simplon. Everything they needed, on every floor. Assassins dressed like waiters carrying compote with maraschino. For those people, I don't have to tell you, money was no problem. Guests and flunkies thought nothing of putting 10, 15 millions on a single card at the Mark Exchange. And Christ, were they in a hurry to unload that stage money, to buy something with it, anything. But where did this stuff come from? From right next door, from Switzerland. And the prices, whole wheelbarrows full of marks. Okay, but what about the layout? The whole floor of the Simplon was fixed up. Genuine merchants, curled, pomaded, swarthy, and slippery, with the charm of a jaguar, fanged smiles, cousins of Nasser, Laval, Mendez, Youssef. Come right in, dear patrons, and those magnates, you should have seen the barrels full of foreign currency. The Simplon Bazaar, open for business, the real thing. A Bukhara rug, 10 pounds of the schlock bank weighed out, swept in. Tomorrow you'll see the same people in the bazaars of the Kremlin, Russia, or the White House, USA, in the middle of another war. 10, 20 Hiroshimas a day, boom, boom, sound and fury, that's all. Those hideous clashes, love taps, nothing at all. Who cares as long as Mercury gets his own? That's what counts. In the Russian labor camps, in Buchenwald, in the darkest dungeons or under the atomic ashes, Mercury is right there. Find his little temple and you'll be all right. Life goes on. So does Nasser and his canal. And marmalade. And genuine Rostov sturgeon. And if you please, don't let the last remaining parachute get any ideas about dropping anything but a good big case of Chianti. Plus glasses, and beveled mirrors, pure Venice, better than best, nylon underthings, Valenciennes style, for the commissar ladies. Oh, those perfumed idols surfeited with tortures, yawning at the gallows. Last parachute, remember those Ratavia nylon blouses, don't make me say it again. Forget about the boring contraptions for pulverizing five provinces so packed with neutrons that you'll never find St. Lazare Station again. Take it from me. At the Simplon Hotel in Baden-Baden, there was everything you needed to get along very nicely. Not just people from the Ruhr concerns and the Central European Balkan banks. There were slightly wounded generals from every front. Believe me, those folks wanted for nothing. Choice food, not to mention the plots, conspiracies, and timetables. You'll say I'm making it up. Not at all. Of course, you had to be there. The circumstances, not everybody's luck. The end of the meals, flushed with roasts, heavy secrets, burgundy. irresistible menus. Delicacies from start to finish, from the hors d'oeuvres to the strawberries and whipped cream. Melba, syrup, more, less, lemon peel. And all those waiters, so attentive, listening and taking note. A lot of them had waited on Pétain, on Gehring at the Ritz in Paris, and not just Hermann, all the high Nazi dignitaries and the Baroness de Rothschild. With the ragged, cracked brain, down-at-heel racists, no matter where, no matter how, the elite is always the elite. Have the meetings, the shit, the motions, the shouting, the raised fist, the lowered fist, the thumbs upside down. That stuff is for the rank and file. Let the scum get down on their knees, down on their faces. To the shit house! A waiter at the White House, the Kremlin, Vichy, or the Simplon, has a way of passing the hors d'oeuvres. Unmistakable. Red cabbage or cauliflower, borscht or pot au feu. Your rank and file gangsters will always fart the same way. It's dismal. Even on Beaujolais or vodka. Their whole digestion is different. Windsor, Kremlin, Elysee. What does the intelligentsia of the wretched earth want? Its fervent dream. To fart like Khrushchev or Picasso. To be wretched like them. Not so easy. I haven't told you about the casino. Those gaming rooms. Transylvanian Baroque. Florid colonels, liverish counselors, ailing old bags with heart trouble. Pale, pale, without a sou left to their names or the strength to get up and go. Wartime, no orchestra, no sound but the unchanging rrr of the wheel and that melodious voice, briskly. Je s'en fais. The nobility from the Simplon came in to take a look, genteel, contemptuous, but the Calabo refugees, especially the ladies, clung three or four to a chair, panting in expectation. The casino pastry shop was always jam-packed with Boche war widows, convalescing from emotional shock. Bring on the Baba Room and the cream puffs and brioches this big, the blueberry tarts and the platters of eclairs. I've got to admit that we indulged just a little. The hard times came later. Don't let it bug you. I'm telling you this every which way, the end before the beginning. What does it matter? The truth alone matters. It's so hard to visualize those convalescent war widows taking the cure. Packing away cakes, petit fours, strawberry tarts, pitchers of creamy chocolate. All those mouths full, dripping. The hard part was getting out, the revolving doors. The waiters had to push them. All those somnolent ladies, they'd land somewhere, belching, dreamy, and linger for hours, digesting. The croupiers, something else again. They had no fun at all. No time for petit fours. Place your bets, five. In addition, they had their pupils to train, one apiece. A specially selected war cripple, a basket case in uniform. And they better learn quick. To toss the ball, to rake in the stakes. Five, three, four. Les jeux sont faits. The dexterity of luck. Harmonious, unbroken movement, chips. Flawless delivery. The tradition of the Baden Casino doesn't date from yesterday. Berlioz played there, and Liszt, and all the Romanov princes. The Naritskins and Savoys, the Bourbons and Braganzas. We, of course, seemed like intruders. We, unwanted on all the shores of Europe. Well, anyway, it was an opera. The comic kind. You spectators have nothing to worry about. History passes by, plays on, and there you are. I'll tell you all about it.
Who are you? What are you doing?
I'm an American film director. My name is Samuel Fuller. I'm here to make a picture in Paris called Flowers of Evil.
Exactly the same croupiers in Monte Carlo, so-called deportees. Pomaded hair the same, hook noses the same, dinner jackets, sewn pockets, same as in Austin, Zopot, Anghein, voices like velvet guillotines. The great Reich thought of everything. People find fault with it now, sure. Think of the stories they tell nowadays about the Gauls, Louis XIV, even Felix IV. The defeated are always scum. I know it. I know it well.
Thank you. Since my recent publication, Nazi Psychoanalysis, was already ready to go public, published in 1995, our relationship has for some time been one of return. Not long ago, I was brought back to my study through John Boscovich's North, which, for starters, as you've heard, is a portrait of Gary, Indiana. Sorry. Which, for starters, is a portrait of Gary, Indiana, who chose for his sitting to read not from his own work, but from Céline's 1960 novel, North. Indiana motivated his reading assignment by referring us to Godard's 1965 Le Pierrot Fou, in which Céline's words and works serve as props. Thus, as you saw, a certain French Brechtian veneer and frame helps to present the North reading. Indiana selected from North passages from the chronicle of the uncanny continuity of the high life in the Hotel Simplon in Baden-Baden during the closing out of the Third Reich. We know, to put it quickly, that Céline switched wings, giving up on the left after a visit to the Soviet Union, and then winging it with National Socialism. But he exited stage right, or so he claimed, after the fall of France, whereupon he dropped out of his public eye or ego and went into the hiding of military medical service. But once the Allies started liberating France, Céline decided that it was time to flee for his life deep inside the losing side. The passage read by Indiana from North, I found, or decided, cited or summoned Nazi psychoanalysis, if only by metonymy and absence. And I took the summons then, and wrote an article for Art and Text about John Boscovich's work, a work of citation in Investigation of Identification. It appeared in the summer of 2002 under the title North by North by Lawrence Rickles. The passage from North, as you heard, describes the waiters at the Simplon as the private eyes of the storm of polymorphous publicity and affiliation. The passage reads, "And all those waiters, so attentive, listening and taking note, a lot of them had waited on Pétain, on Göring at the Ritz in Paris, and not just Hellmann." The name thus given is that of Matthias Göring, the cousin of the more famous Hellmann, who was director of the Nazi German Institute of Psychotherapy, in which an eclectic mix of therapies and theories, completely continuous with what is validated, for example, by the Board of Behavioral Sciences in California today, was practiced and promoted. Matthias Göring did visit Paris during the Nazi years to discuss with analyst René Lafargue, who was Jacques Lacan's supervisor at the time, the establishment in France of an at once eclecticized and reunified psychodynamic therapy institute in keeping with the new German standards. That this institute did not materialize was not a measure of French resistance, but rather the confirmation of the provincial standing of Paris within the newly aggrandized institution of psychotherapy. In the post-war era, Theodor Adorno, Martin Heidegger, and Jacques Lacan, to give three prominent examples, took up challenges of technologization and group psychologization they identified as American. But within the United States of their amnesia, between their pre-Nazi era work and the Cold War work, what is missing is their contact with the Nazi German protocols of eclecticization or reunification of master discourses in streamline with techno conditions and conditionings. at least for the duration of Boscovich's North, we are astonished to discover the conditions under which we receive this document, namely as contaminated, compromised, fractured modernists whose shifty alliances sustain, contrary to loud as denial popular belief, the uncanny continuity in transmission that makes it all come down to us through association with National Socialism. The conclusion I would like to add on balance is that what rocks this hard place, our inevitable association with National Socialism, is a saving passage of all the above at the same time, through or alongside Freud's science. The placeholder for this late or latter claim is the mourning work that cannot not be done, or, for that matter, undone. Even as we pass with Celine, Indiana, Boscovich, and me through the science fictive sole survival scenario of National Socialism, we get caught in the act of losing, of being at a loss, of being thus doubly divided in and against ourselves. This inevitable but uncontainable space of backfire of the remainder places us under the influence of Freud, who, with some deliberation, set up his science in the missing place of our death cult. It is psychoanalysis, then, that gives us license, as mourners or unmourners, to be non-phobic about all the juxtapositions that were and are out there between the good and the bad objects of our modernism. Thank you.
Prepared like that to say. I'm just an admirer of John's work, but this piece in particular does bring up the issues that Larry discussed, but in a more poignant way, I'd just like to talk about the question of the compromised figure and the problem of politics, since we've all come up, John and I at least came of age in a certain time when there was a purification of politics going on in the art world and outside of the art world, and a kind of left-wing amnesia in response to Reaganism that produced the most obnoxious forms of resistance and identifications against what I would think is the irrecuperable space of political action and engagement. And I think that part of what John is able to do in this film with Gary is to find that allegorical space in which the compromised character, like the loser, like Benjamin's agent provocateur, like the flâneur, but the compromised character is the political character par excellence. And if we can't bear that notion and we go back to a politics of purity, then we've lost this lesson. And in wartime now, because we are in wartime, even though we sort of forget it, I think ever that allegorical space of a political resistance against the simplifications of the situation as we see it now in our world today is I think one of the things that the aesthetic moment can open up. And so for a time when I really despaired of any notion of reticence in relationship to the political, Boscovich and Indiana brought all of these issues to the fore again for me. And so I just think that this question of the compromised character is extremely important. And the compromised formation in psychoanalysis, of course, allows us to think through and to theorize the compromised character, but to make him not the bouc émissaire of our political good intentions might be the ethical position at which we can arrive upon the viewing of this extraordinary film. And that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Jamais nous n'avons échangé de tels serments méconnaissants, reconnaissants. Jamais nous n'aurions pu être à jamais pris par l'amour, nous qui étions si reconnaissants. Pourtant,
Pourtant tout doucement, sans qu'en nous rien soit dit, petit à petit. Les sentiments se sont glissés entre nos corps, qui se plaisaient à se mêler. Et puis des mots d'amour sont venus sur nos lèvres nues, petit à petit. Et pas de mots d'amour se sont venus tout doucement à nos baisers, combien de mots d'amour. Jamais je n'aurais cru que tu me plairais toujours, oh mon amour.
You don't need to vote to have an opinion. It's the privilege of old age. A time comes when you stop reading the articles. Just the ads. They tell you the whole story. And the death notices. You know what people want, and you know that they're dead.
Son dessin, une admirable rigueur. Sa ligne, puissante.
God knows the guests of the Simplon in Baden-Baden were Gaullists, out-and-out anti-Hitlerites, ripe for the Allies, with the cross of Lorraine in their hearts, in their eyes, on their tongues. And none of your small-time flops, none of your demented down-at-the-heel shopkeepers. The Simplon only took people from the very best families, former reigning princes, Aurora magnates, owners of steel mills with 100 or 200,000 workers, still, I'm speaking of July 44, very well supplied with food and very punctually. Butter, eggs, caviar, marmalade, salmon, cognac, Mums Extra. Airborne shipments dropped by parachute on Vienna, Austria, direct from Rostov, Tunis, Epernay, London. The war is raging on seven fronts and all oceans don't interfere with their caviar. The super squashery, Z-bomb, sling, fly swatter will always respect the delicatessen of the high and mighty. You won't see Khrushchev eating monkey meat in this world or Nixon feeding on noodles. The tables of the high and mighty are a reason of state. That's how it was at the Simplon. Everything they needed, on every floor. Assassins dressed like waiters carrying compote with maraschino. For those people, I don't have to tell you, money was no problem. Guests and flunkies thought nothing of putting 10, 15 millions on a single card at the Mark Exchange. And Christ, were they in a hurry to unload that stage money, to buy something with it, anything. But where did this stuff come from? From right next door, from Switzerland. And the prices, whole wheelbarrows full of marks. Okay, but what about the layout? The whole floor of the Simplon was fixed up. Genuine merchants, curled, pomaded, swarthy, and slippery, with the charm of a jaguar, fanged smiles, cousins of Nasser, Laval, Mendez, Youssef. Come right in, dear patrons, and those magnates. You should have seen the barrels full of foreign currency. The Simplon Bazaar, open for business. The real thing. A Bukhara rug. 10 pounds of the schlock bank weighed out, swept in. Tomorrow you'll see the same people in the bazaars of the Kremlin, Russia, or the White House, USA, in the middle of another war. 10, 20 Hiroshimas a day. Boom, boom, sound and fury, that's all. Those hideous clashes. Love taps, nothing at all. Who cares as long as Mercury gets his own? That's what counts. In the Russian labor camps, in Buchenwald, in the darkest dungeons, or under the atomic ashes, Mercury is right there. Find his little temple, and you'll be all right. Life goes on. So does Nasser and his canal. And marmalade. And genuine Rostov sturgeon. And if you please, don't let the last remaining parachute get any ideas about dropping anything but a good big case of Chianti. Plus glasses, and beveled mirrors, pure Venice, better than best, nylon underthings, Valenciennes style, for the commissar ladies. Oh, those perfumed idols surfeited with tortures, yawning at the gallows. Last parachute, remember those Ratavia nylon blouses. Don't make me say it again. Forget about those boring contraptions for pulverizing five provinces so packed with neutrons that you'll never find St. Lazare Station again. Take it from me. At the Simplon Hotel in Baden-Baden, there was everything you needed to get along very nicely. Not just people from the Ruhr concerns and the Central European Balkan banks. There were slightly wounded generals from every front. Believe me, those folks wanted for nothing. Choice food, not to mention the plots, conspiracies, and timetables. You'll say I'm making it up. Not at all. Of course, you had to be there. The circumstances, not everybody's luck. The end of the meals, flushed with roasts, heavy secrets, burgundy. irresistible menus. Delicacies from start to finish, from the hors d'oeuvres to the strawberries and whipped cream. Melba, syrup, more, less, lemon peel. And all those waiters, so attentive, listening and taking note. A lot of them had waited on Pétain, on Gehring at the Ritz in Paris, and not just Hermann, all the high Nazi dignitaries and the Baroness de Rothschild. With the ragged, crack-brained, down-at-heel racists, no matter where, no matter how, the elite is always the elite. Have the meetings, the shit, the motions, the shouting, the raised fist, the lowered fist, the thumbs upside down. That stuff is for the rank and file. Let the scum get down on their knees, down on their faces. To the shithouse! A waiter at the White House, the Kremlin, Vichy, or the Simplon, has a way of passing the hors d'oeuvres. Unmistakable. Red cabbage or cauliflower, borscht or pot au feu. Your rank and file gangsters will always fart the same way. It's dismal. Even on Beaujolais or vodka. Their whole digestion is different. Windsor, Kremlin, Elysee. What does the intelligentsia of the wretched earth want? Its fervent dream. To fart like Khrushchev or Picasso. To be wretched like them. Not so easy. I haven't told you about the casino. Those gaming rooms. Transylvanian Baroque. Florid colonels, liverish counselors, ailing old bags with heart trouble. Pale, pale, without a sou left to their names or the strength to get up and go. Wartime, no orchestra, no sound but the unchanging rrr of the wheel and that melodious voice, briskly. Je s'en fais. The nobility from the Simplon came in to take a look, genteel, contemptuous. But the Calabo refugees, especially the ladies, clung three or four to a chair, panting in expectation. The casino pastry shop was always jam-packed with Boche war widows, convalescing from emotional shock. Bring on the Baba Room and the cream puffs and brioches this big, the blueberry tarts and the platters of eclairs. I've got to admit that we indulged just a little. The hard times came later. Don't let it bug you. I'm telling you this every which way, the end before the beginning. What does it matter? The truth alone matters. It's so hard to visualize those convalescent war widows taking the cure. Packing away cakes, petit fours, strawberry tarts, pitchers of creamy chocolate. All those mouths full, dripping. The hard part was getting out, the revolving doors. The waiters had to push them. All those somnolent ladies, they'd land somewhere, belching, dreamy, and linger for hours, digesting. The croupiers, something else again. They had no fun at all. No time for petit fours. Place your bets, five. In addition, they had their pupils to train, one apiece. A specially selected war cripple, a basket case in uniform. And they better learn quick. To toss the ball, to rake in the stakes. Five, three, four. Les jeux sont faits. The dexterity of luck. Harmonious, unbroken movement. Chips. Flawless delivery. The tradition of the Baden Casino doesn't date from yesterday. Berlioz played there, and Liszt, and all the Romanov princes. The Naritskins and Savoys, the Bourbons and Braganzas. We, of course, seemed like intruders. We, unwanted on all the shores of Europe. Well, anyway, it was an opera. The comic kind. You spectators have nothing to worry about. History passes by, plays on, and there you are. I'll tell you all about it.
Who are you? What are you doing?
I'm an American film director. My name is Samuel Fuller. I'm here to make a picture in Paris called Flowers of Evil.
Exactly the same croupiers in Monte Carlo. So-called deportees. Pomaded hair the same. Hook noses the same. Dinner jackets, sewn pockets. Same as in Austin. Zopot, Anghein. Voices like velvet guillotines. The great Reich thought of everything. People find fault with it now, sure. Think of the stories they tell nowadays about the Gauls, Louis XIV, even Felix IV. The defeated are always scum. I know it. I know it well.